This is the governor of California, Arnold Schwarzenegger. I'm here to tell you that Mother's Joint contains adult subject matter and adult language. Mother says words like pee-pee and caca and these kinds of things. So if this is upsetting to you, please turn this damn podcast off. And if you want to help California out of its economic crisis, please, by all means, get your fat potato chip eating butt out of your chair. And please get a damn job and pay some taxes. Help us out here, please. Thank you very much. Welcome to Modest Joint. I am Mike Modest, your host that never boasts. Right now, I feel a little bit like Mr. Rogers because I'm walking into the joint as we speak. There goes the door. And welcome to the joint. I just turned on the lights, and there's the old Coors sign lit up, neon. And the steel folding chair for you. Have a seat. God, I love that picture of those dogs playing pool. Man, that's nice. All right, welcome to Modest Joint. Got a full show for you here. I think you can tell by the amount of paper I have. These are my trusty notes. Let's see what we got. First, let me give you my email and all that jazz. For questions, comments, or death threats, you can email me at michael.modest@gmail.com or hit me up on myspace.com/michaelmodest. This week, I've got my top 10. I saw the movie The Wrestler this week, so I'm going to talk about my favorite scene from that flick. I wrestled an SPW match this weekend against Drake Frost. I wrestled for Pro Wrestling Revolution this weekend against Mr. Primetime MPT. We're going to have a commercial. I am going to be talking about the Boogeyman, the WWE star, and I think I'm going to surprise you with what I think about it, the whole gimmick and his work. Also, you will have words of wisdom from yours truly, Michael Modest. But first, an email. This email comes from Chris James. This is a young guy that's kind of new to the California area. He doesn't have a whole lot of friends. And, you know, so I'm nice to the guy. I've been in his spot before coming into a territory and you don't know anybody. And, you know, I treat people how I want to be treated. You know what I'm saying? I have mellowed out in my older age. I'm not near so quick-tempered as I used to be. But I got this email from Chris, and it's regarding the California Roll. Now, for those of you that don't know, the California Roll was a finisher that I used in Japan from time to time. Chris writes, any chance that I could possibly learn that move from you at SPW or NAW sometime? It looks easy enough. It's a 180-degree falling Samoan slam. But there's always an art to even the simplest move in our sport. Also, the Exploder you do looks great. And fuck what the guy said about the reality check off the apron. I can appreciate the pain that you endured delivering that move. Peace, and see you Sunday. Chris James. Well, Chris, I'll tell you, I'd been waiting until after the show to respond to this, and I wanted to actually do it on the show because you made several mistakes. And, you know, I am sure that any of the boys that are listening to this show right now would understand what I'm talking about. First of all, you start off by not even completely describing the move that I do. You start off by saying it looks easy enough. Well, if it's so fucking easy, Chris, why don't you just learn it your own goddamn self? Then you talk about it being a 180-degree falling Samoan slam. But, Chris, you neglect to mention that it ends in a cradle. Then you say that there's always an art to even the simplest move in our sport. Chris, we're not talking about a flying fucking mare. Then he says, the Exploder I do looks great. Thanks, Chris. It makes me feel wonderful that you agree that my Exploder is fantastic. And as far as fuck the guy with the reality check to the apron, you know, the apron thing, I can appreciate the pain you endured delivering that move. No, you can't, Chris. You know why you can't appreciate it? Because you've never worked 3 weeks straight, 4 weeks straight, 5 weeks straight in Japan. You've never worked 5-6 nights a week, 7 nights a week, show after show, bus ride after bus ride. So no, Chris, in fact, you cannot appreciate what I endured delivering that move, nor can any other Mark. Peace to you, Chris, and I'll see you at NAW. So, that's the email. I'm just starting off, folks. It was an interesting weekend, and I've really been looking forward to this segment of Modest Joint. Moving right along, words of wisdom. I want to talk about something that I've been noticing a lot in this business. I notice that guys want to get pops for moves. And I'll tell you, that thirst, that hunger for moves that pop, it is creating some of the most fantastic, innovative moves I think our business has ever seen, even though most of them were being done in Mexico, I don't know, 20 years ago. That's just my opinion. Or some kid in the backyard was doing it on his trampoline. But at any rate, the moves that you see now on pro wrestling are just fantastic. They're the kinds of things that superheroes would do to each other, and then they get back up as if they're made of iron. But with a lot of these crazy moves, these insane, high-impact, high-pop moves, comes high risk, and sometimes the Iron Man doesn't get up. He does land and crack his neck. So I'm not saying stop with the innovation, because I think the innovation is really healthy for the industry. I was really amazed at some of the things that I saw some of these young guys do on the shows this weekend. And I say keep that up. But what I would like to remind all the young indie guys out there is that there's a story that can also get a pop. And that's what guys are neglecting to do. They don't make a story pop anymore. They're just trying to get a pop out of an exchange of an arsenal of moves. High-risk, fantastic, acrobatic moves. I didn't know exactly how I was going to explain this, and so I kind of summed it up in a very basic, simple way. A story pop example would be a three-tackle spot with the finish, me taking a bump. For example, I'm wrestling a big dude. I hit the ropes, go for the tackle. He doesn't go down. I try again. He doesn't go down. I tell him I'm going to do it one more time. I take a fake step, turn around, and clock him in the jaw. Now I got him softened up. I hit the ropes. He charges and pops me, and I take the bump. I go down and slide out of the ring. I'm telling the story, not even in the sum of the match, just in a high spot, but really it only involves me taking one easy bump. Now, you can do that, or you can do the triple Karana Buster. I'm not sure if there is such a thing, but it sounds fucking dangerous. What I always like to do is combine the two. You know, I would come up with my own triple Karana Buster, California Roll, reality check, whatever you want to call it. But I'd also pair it with a lot of other story within my matches. You know, my matches made a little more sense. I really did think about the things I was doing in the ring as if it was a stone cold shoot. So that's all I'm saying. Get the story to pop. Those are my words of wisdom for this week, folks. I watched the WWE this week, and I also watched AWA. AWA, I'm going to briefly comment because of the fact that AWA, of course, is vintage footage. But I got a chance to watch DJ Peterson, man. And I'll tell you, this guy looked like $1 million. And all in all, he wasn't a bad wrestler necessarily. He was just a heel that they tried to push shamelessly as a face. It's funny because I saw this match. He was wrestling this jobber, and the jobber was a heel. They lock up. The jobber gave him a nice arm drag and gets up and starts strutting. They lock up again. The jobber gives him another nice arm drag and starts strutting. DJ Peterson charges him, kicks him in the gut, and then kicks him again and again and again in the corner of the ring. And I thought, you go, babyface. You go. I just thought that was funny. You know, babyfaces want to kind of keep it clean. They might want to out-wrestle the heel instead. But I don't know. Sometimes I don't think I know a whole lot about this business. Now I want to talk about the WWE and what I saw that I actually liked. And that's the Boogeyman. Now, I had heard about this gimmick a while ago, and I thought instinctively that I wouldn't like it. But then I saw it, and I thought, wow, you know, the guy really does look creepy as hell. He's got a killer look. He's got a great gimmick. And he uses the gimmick the entire time he's in the ring. He never drops it. And I think that's very commendable, and I think that's what gets a gimmick over. It's when you really take the gimmick from start to finish, and you incorporate it in a lot of facets of your wrestling, in a lot of spots. And so I just wanted to say that I liked the Boogeyman. I liked the gimmick. I liked his work. And damn it, anybody who will eat that many worms deserves to make it in this business. I mean, it takes the business right back to its very beginning with the circus geek biting off the heads of chickens. The other thing I liked about the Boogeyman match was the fact that he was wrestling a jobber. And I don't remember the jobber's name. And you know what? That's okay. I did remember the Boogeyman. And I remembered to be able to pay attention to several of the things that he did. Weird little gimmicks or shakes, like he hits the guy in the corner and then kind of steps out and does like a weird voodoo dance or something. And it's like, when you have a job or match like that, you can really pay attention. You know who the damn star is. You know who the company's pushing. And so my hat's off to whoever at the WWE is listening to Modest Joint. Because if you check in the archives, brother, I said that back a ways ago, that was a formula they needed to return to. I thought TNA should have returned to that formula. It's still their main problem. I don't know who's a star with that company. Everybody's competitive in every match. So, the next thing I wanted to talk about was my Pro Wrestling Revolution experience this weekend. I wrestled Mr. Primetime, and I think he's a great wrestler. He's got a good look, very, very solid in the ring, good psychology. I had a good time the entire time I was involved with Pro Wrestling Revolution. I was very, very impressed. I'm walking down the street in San Francisco. I had to park like 5 blocks away. As I come up to the building, there's vendors on every corner of the building selling Pro Wrestling Revolution merchandise, lucha masks, t-shirts, and dolls. Posters and pictures and cups and keychains and bumper stickers. I was so impressed with the balloons, the little baseball, like little, blow up things that you see at the baseball games, like baseball bats and stuff. They had little, it was incredible the amount of merchandise they had at this event. I definitely felt as though as I walked up to the building, I was approaching something very major league, and I was proud to be a part of it. I walked into the building, man, and there's Gabe, busting his ass, working so hard, and I really like what he's got going and what he's doing. He's doing everything right. However, something bad did happen at the show, man. You didn't think it was all going to be good, did you? Here's what it was. my second most embarrassing moment in professional wrestling ever. The first one was when I was parading around. I was like 18, 19 years old, long hair. I'm running around in red, white, and blue singlet and trunks, and I'm waving the flag. I slip in the dirt, fall down, muddy up the flag, muddy up myself. I get up. The crowd's all laughing at the USA guy.